Welcome to Coaching the Whole Educator, the podcast that helps instructional coaches, teacher leaders, and school leaders. I'm Becca, former educator and school coach turned transformational coach of coaches. I'm on a mission to help you improve your educators' effectiveness and resilience, especially the ones who need it most. Each week, we'll cover quick tips, strategies, and coaching mindsets so that you can be on top of your coaching game. Are you ready? Let's dive in. And now a word from our sponsor. Hey coaches, have you ever had a day you wish you could just duplicate yourself to save time? If your answer is yes, with the SibMe platform, you can complete all your coaching cycles, track goals, and connect your teachers with relevant resources all in one place. You can maximize your time and maximize your impact. As a special offer for listeners of Coaching the Whole Educator, SibMe is giving away an opportunity to use a SibMe coaching package for free for the remainder of the school year. Go to sibme.com/TWE to learn more and claim your free coaching package to start saving time. That's sibme.com/TWE, or click the link in the show notes. Hello, 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 coaches and leaders. I am so pumped to have Chrissy Beltran with me today. She is also known as Buzzing with Ms. B, and I have been following her personally for a very long time. I love her material for instructional coaches, and I would love her to share with you more about what she does in the world of education.
All right. Well, hey, Becca, and hey, coaches. I'm excited to be here today. I actually provide support for instructional coaches and teachers. So I kind of am operating at two different levels where I work with teachers and I coach them and provide PD, but I also support instructional coaches who are doing the work that you're, the same exact work you're doing right now, which is, you know, PLCs, building relationships, providing professional development. It's so much work that coaches have had to figure out how to do most of the time on their own. And we believe that every teacher deserves a coach. I personally believe every coach deserves a coach too. So I'm here to be the coach for those of you who just didn't get one, like I didn't in the beginning of my coaching career. I provide that support through my podcast, Buzzing with Ms. B, the coaching podcast, through my blog at buzzingwithmissb.com. I have 10 years of posts there. It's been, or maybe 11. It's been a long time. And my resources, which are now available both on my blog and at buzzingwithmissb.com and at my TPT store.
Amazing. Yeah. You are a resource rich human, and I am excited to like just dive a little bit into all the things that you know instructional coaching today.
I'm excited to be here because I love to talk shop. It's one of my favorite things.
So I just want to kind of jump into the topic here. Why do you think the need to be helpful in instructional coaching can have a negative impact?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And you are asking a problem solving helper this question. Okay. Yes. That is my nature. And I think a lot of coaches actually are called into coaching because they're like, I have figured out all this great stuff and I just want to help other people do it. So their lives will be easier and their kids will learn better and their teaching will be awesome. And so we come into coaching sometimes with a frame of mind that I am going to help you. I'm going to solve these problems for you. I'm just going to tell you what I did and you're going to turn it around and it's going to be amazing. And then we actually get into coaching and it's like, nobody wants your help.
Yeah.
You're like, what's wrong with you guys? I had all these awesome ideas. And it's not that it's about you. It has nothing to do usually with you as a coach. The problem is this need to help sometimes causes us to jump over the problem into a solution. We jump over what the teacher is struggling with into a possible answer. Mm-hmm. And it can really turn people off. Mm-hmm. But whenever it comes to teachers, we're like, let me just tell you what to do and save you the time. Mm-hmm. But then the learning doesn't happen because they didn't go through the thinking.
Yeah. And that makes me think about the coaching habit. Michael Bungay Stearnier talks about the drama triangle, which when I read this book, I was obsessed with the drama triangle. I thought it was revolutionary. So this is what happens when kind of drama happens. We become one of three roles. We can become the persecutor, we can become the victim, or we can become the rescuer. And the rescuer is
many times where coaches go very easily to be helpful, right? Don't worry, I'll come rescue. I'll take care of it. The problem is when we come from a rescuer point of view, we automatically make the other person a victim role. So being a rescuer isn't who you are. It's a role that you take on. And I actually want to read from the book because I think he says it really amazingly. I just want to flesh out what rescuer is because it's like, man, he says the core belief of a rescuer is don't fight, don't worry, let me jump in and take it on and fix it. And the dynamic that's created is it's my fault or my responsibility and not yours. And the benefits of playing the role is you feel morally superior and you feel you're indispensable. And it's not completely altruistic. And part of the work that we do as coaches, we want to self-reflect on why we are feeling a deep need to rescue someone and essentially put them into a victim role. Right. And, you know, and it makes me think about unsolicited advice. And when we give unsolicited advice, it can actually diminish trust in a relationship. Someone can feel kind of put on in a way that they didn't ask. It's unsolicited. They didn't ask for that.
That's true. And I think that's kind of something that I wanted to bring up. You know, some teachers, okay, there are certain schools of coaching mm-hmm. in which you basically never give them an idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't subscribe to that.
I
don't think that's a partnership. I don't think that's real. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go to a therapist who always just says, well, how do you feel about that? I don't want that.
No.
I want somebody to say, okay, this is a tool you don't have. Mm-hmm. We've exhausted what you can do at this mm-hmm. moment. And you're saying, help me. I don't know what to do. I think it's fine to say, here's a tool. Like when mm-hmm. it's asked for, and sometimes they will come up to you and say, what would you do? Or what do you think?
Yeah.
So, you know, whenever it's solicited or whenever there is a clear bereftness of experience in certain areas, I absolutely believe, yes, we offer the insight, we offer the knowledge, and we offer the opportunity to learn something together with a coach as a partnership. I think that's great. But yeah, unsolicited advice has the exact opposite effect. And it does. It turns people off. It doesn't fill their bucket. They didn't come to you saying, help me with this. I mean, you're saying, oh, I can help. I can fix that for you. And the implication can almost be, if you were as good as me, you could have fixed this yourself.
But yeah, right. And that's where that twinge of moral superiority comes in, right? We want to build up and empower professionals, right? As professionals. When have you experienced yourself in that helping role, right? In the being like the advice monster in the past or even maybe recently? And you caught yourself and you're like, ooh, they did not ask for this advice. This is not the way to empower this educator.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that I have to battle every single day of my life. If that makes anybody else feel better. I mean, sheesh, my whole podcast is just an opportunity for me to give advice, right? We find venues for our vices, but yeah, I know that I have gone through this a million and one times probably, and gotten better at it over time. As a new coach, I can remember having conversations with teachers, certain specific teachers, who they were offering complaints and they had problems. And I can remember giving solutions and then thinking, she doesn't know what that is. She doesn't know what I'm talking about. We're not even speaking the same language here. Like I'm referring to a strategy that is not in her toolbox. And whether it'll solve the problem or not, I mean, over time, yeah, I did believe that would actually have a positive effect, but it's not going to solve the problem today. And so even if she were to try to go back to the classroom today and try to do the thing that I said, it would be completely ineffective. and then I can remember the teacher just going, okay, okay, sure. And pretending that was maybe a good idea. Mm-hmm. And, me really on some level knowing that was never going to happen.
For sure. You know, in my early days, I would give the advice that worked in my classroom.
Exactly.
Right? This worked for me. Why isn't it working for you? And then when the teacher wouldn't do it or would kind of do it and, right? In my head, I would label them as resistant, right? I would make up some reason why they were at fault for not doing the very good advice that I gave them. And I see this so often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's because we've set up our response as the right answer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So then this was the right answer to the question, and now you're not doing it right. So something's wrong about the way you did it, because it would be great if you just did it the right way.
Like, yes. You know, isn't that interesting? I'm going to say something. I'm going to kind of broaden out this conversation because this is so I have this theory. So I think most teachers, not all, but most teachers were excellent students. They liked school. So these teachers that were good students, I call them the good teacher. They wanted to do a good job in school, and now they want to do a good job as a teacher, mm-hmm. right? And then those excellent teachers get promoted to coach, and now they want to do a good job as a coach, right? And there's this kind of like goodness around goodness, you know, like want to be good. And I think mm-hmm. it can also have that rightness about it, right? Like, yeah. I just want to do a good job and I have the right answer. I've been working really hard on this. And it can kind of just be in the context of it all, of the coaching and the teaching, right? Because I certainly know teachers that I work with, they just want to do it right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, there's a moral imperative to it. And obviously I do believe that there is morality associated with the work that we do, you know, because we are helping children build their lives, right? Uh-huh. And helping teachers build children who can build their lives. But yeah, the idea of this is the right way to do it. It reminds me of, I don't know if you've read the children's book, The Good Egg.
No, I haven't.
It's really good. It's part of the series that has The Bad Seed, The Smart Cookie. And so the idea is that this good egg is like, he's the good egg out of the dozen. All the others are naughty. And then he's always spending his time trying to tell the others what they should be doing. Because he's the good egg. That's his identity. I am good. I am right. I do things the right way. So he's always like telling everybody, you know, don't do that. Don't say that. And he's just stressing out, and he starts to get little cracks in his shell. Uh-huh. And finally he goes away by himself and he learns that he doesn't have to be like everybody else, doesn't have to do things like he does in order for it to be okay. And it kind of reminds me of what you're talking about. We have this idea of there's a good and right way to do things, mm-hmm. and we're going to do things the good and right way.
Right. Yes. I love that. Okay. So now I want to shift into what can coaches do about this, right? How can they shift from this being helpful context to actually making a real impact with educators?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that whenever I'm in a conversation, and I do this on, even on my podcast, I have coaching calls. I have coaches who call in and are like, I need help with this specific area, right? And I need to ask questions to understand better. Mm-hmm. Because those questions, they're kind of multi-purpose. They do help me understand the situation better so mm-hmm. that I can kind of clarify what's happening and see, you know, what resources they may need or what they could benefit from. But they also help the speaker, the teacher or the coach. They help this person think through what is going on so that they can really identify the situation and the possibilities. Mm-hmm. Because we get stuck. All of us get stuck in our own little bubble. I did this. It's not working. I'm stuck. I don't know what else to do. And our bubble gets smaller and smaller and smaller. Mm-hmm. And so what we can do is help them kind of identify what is happening. Mm-hmm. What is going on? Mm-hmm. What have you already tried?
Right.
Why do you think this is happening? Like, what could the cause of this be? What happens when you do this? Tell me more about this specific thing. Mm-hmm. And in digging into that, we can help them kind of uncover what's actually going on, mm-hmm. what their thought process is around it, and what mm-hmm. some possible changes or different directions they could take could mm-hmm. be. And I found a lot of benefit in just, if you don't know what to say, and which is, I mean, we always feel like we know what to say. So. But if you don't know, uh-huh. ask something else.
Yeah.
Just ask another question. Mm-hmm. I know that, I think it's Jim Knight who says, just tell me more. He says, tell me more all the time. Uh-huh. Tell me more. I find that with certain people, with most teachers, I have to be more specific than that, mm-hmm. than tell me more. Mm-hmm. Tell me more about what the students do. Mm-hmm. Tell me more about what they're writing. Mm-hmm. Tell me more about, because if a certain people I say, tell me more, they're like, I gave you what I got. I don't know. I'm spent. I'm here for answers. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I find digging in, tell me more about something specific mm-hmm. is a more helpful way for me to really understand what is going on and what the situation is so that they can verbalize it. And then sometimes if it's just like all of us, we talk through something. Sometimes we come up with an idea just from the act of talking.
Mm-hmm. You listed a bunch of really helpful impacts of asking all those questions. And there's one more I wanted to add, which was making sure that we are solving the right problem.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, and so it's, I'd say at least a quarter of the time when I'm working with educators and coaches, right? They come in with their complaint or their frustration, mm-hmm. right? And I'm just like you, I got some answers and I have to hold back and wait, right? And ask the questions at least a quarter of the time. What they think is the problem is actually not the problem. So if I jumped in with my solutions, I would be solving the wrong problem.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's exactly.
So I wanted to kind of wrap up with, what are your thoughts about some helpful questions that coaches can ask teachers to help them to shift from simply being helpful to actually impactful?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And so one of the questions that I really like, and I have a few ideas on this, but the first one is something that my friend Jessica Vance, I've actually had her on the podcast a couple of times to discuss inquiry. Mm. She says her favorite question is, what would happen if? Mm. And I think it's a great question, because if we can kind of train that into the thinking of teachers, you know, it puts them in the driver's seat to envision what change could look like, what it would look like if they tried out something new. And it kind of gives them the opportunity to think through possibilities. Mm-hmm. And I think another good question is, what do you want to happen? What outcome are you looking for? What are you trying to accomplish with this? Mm-hmm. And I feel that I ask that one a lot. What are you trying to accomplish? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes, like you said earlier, we're trying to solve the wrong problem. Mm-hmm. And teachers might be trying to solve the wrong problem and they're not even sure what they're trying to accomplish. But again, mm-hmm. if we can keep asking this question and get it ingrained in the way that we think about teaching, well, what am I trying to accomplish with this? Why am I choosing to spend time on it? Mm-hmm. What is my goal for this?
Yeah. And I think a related question I just thought about was, why is this important to you? But especially if you as a coach are sensing like, oh yeah, I'm not entirely sure, you know, that this is the problem, right? Is this the thing we want to be spending our time focusing on?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes I've asked people that question and they hesitate mm-hmm. because they haven't thought about it. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. Great. Good. Give them mm-hmm. the time. We got to give them a think time. That's the first yes. step. Wait.
Yes.
and then
yes.
listen.
Yes.
And then ask questions, right? Sometimes whenever people ask a question, and then they don't respond immediately. We feel like we have to immediately fill the space and follow up with something. Mm-hmm. But what we really want to do, because that's a helpful, right? Well, I don't want you to sit here in discomfort and in this gray, hazy area where you don't know the answer. Let me give you a question you do know the answer to. Mm-hmm. But that, again, there's no struggle. There's no thought. So there's no real problem solving. No real mm-hmm. change is happening. So
right.
if we wait and give them the time. Just right. give them, just like with kids.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. This is just a great conversation to start. You know, one of the things I kind of want to wrap up our questions conversation with is, no questions are effective if it comes from an inauthentic place.
Well, that's true.
We want to, you know, really be curious and connected with our educators, right? When we're asking questions, we don't want to, be looking at our list of protocols and, mm-hmm. and pre-written questions and kind of go down a almost, you know, checking the box kind of list. We want to do the work to embed them in our being and come from a place of caring and commitment to critical thinking.
Yeah, I think you're right in that authenticity is important. And then, really expecting positive intent and positive response mm-hmm. from teachers is important.
Yes, yes.
And bringing that with us as well as coaches.
So this is great. This has been such a fun conversation to have about being helpful and reframing this for our helpful coaches and leaders. So where can folks find you to, you know, take advantage of all of your amazing coaching resources?
Well, thanks. You can find me at buzzingwithmissb.com. You can check out the podcast, Buzzing with Miss B, the coaching podcast. And you can also find me on Instagram. That's the social media that gets most of my attention. It's just at Buzzing with Miss B.
Follow Chrissy on Instagram. I'll put all of her links in the show notes. And I just wanted to thank you for taking the time to share with us all the things that you know.
I love it. Thank you so much for having me.
And if you're interested in learning more about other strategies besides needing to be helpful, feel free to check out our resistance series we recently published, as well as our Whole Educator Foundations on-demand curriculum. All of the links will be in the show notes. And until next time, just remember, don't treat people the way you want to be treated. Treat them how they want to be treated. Take care.